Well, good afternoon, everyone. Good to see you all here today. Many Americans who have traveled overseas have gone to many exotic-sounding destinations. Destinations like Iwo Jima, Incheon, Saigon, Kuwait, and more recently, Kandahar and Tora Bora have become part of the American language. But now I'm sure you realize that these locations are not your typical American tourist destinations, but locations where the United States military has fought in wars over the last 60 years. Since the September 11th terrorist attack upon the United States, our U.S. military has played a key role in the international politics to go after those who are responsible. Many questions come to mind about what's next for our military and its role in Afghanistan. So there's one question we need to ask ourselves. By we, I mean those who we call ourselves Christians. The question is, should Christians serve in the military? Today, let's take a look from a biblical perspective on this question. Several weeks ago, I read an account of an individual who was born in Japan. At the age of 15, American missionaries visited him and talked to him to come into America, which he did. Then on that fateful day of December 7th, 1941, when Pearl Harbor was attacked, he joined the U.S. military. Because of his ability to speak fluently English and Japanese, he was placed into military intelligence. A week after the atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima, the army sent him to that city. As he walked along the streets of Hiroshima, he saw the devastation, the horror of war, beyond anything he could imagine. Those who survived the atomic bomb blast were terribly disfigured. Those who were vaporized in a blast sometimes left photographic images of that person on the concrete streets and walls. This was the city he had lived in, Japan, for 15 years of his life. It would be another 40 years before he could talk to others about the horror that he had seen. There are individuals here today in this room who have served in the military prior coming into the church. For some of them, it took great courage to go into battle, not knowing if it was going to be their last day or not. And for you, there's a few here today, like the individual who walked the streets of Hiroshima, to this day cannot talk about the horrors they have seen in war and battle. And yet there's another individual in this congregation that I know of, and maybe more, who took also the courage to stand up against the overwhelming public opinion on that day and became a conscientious objector in the Vietnam War based upon his religious beliefs. In this world, there's a man's way, and then there's the way of God. So let's look at a few points here from a biblical perspective on military service. Point one, military service is incompatible for Christians to keep God's Ten Commandments. Let's open our Bibles to Exodus 20. In Exodus 20, we will read about God's moral instructions for mankind. Now drop down to verse 8, and reread the fourth commandment. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord, your God." Serving in the military requires you to work on days like the Sabbath. Well, how about keeping the sixth commandment? Let's drop down to verse 13 in Exodus 20. It says, "You shall not murder." Serving in the military may require you to take the life of another human being. Well, how about the 10th commandment? Let's drop down to verse 17 of Exodus 20. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. The military may require military aggression against property and territory of others. Now let's turn to James 4. We'll see important scripture in the New Testament to show that these commandments are still in effect. Now in James 4, verse 1, where do wars and fights come among you? Do they not come among you? Do they come from your desires for pleasure that war in your numbers? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and you war, and you do not have because you do not ask. Serving in the military would put us in conflict with the Ten Commandments of God. Point two, military service requires Christians to obey men rather than God. Let's turn to our Bibles to Matthew 8. And here we'll see a very familiar scripture. This is an account of where Jesus heals a centurion's servant. The scripture also points out an important part of military life. Now reading in Matthew 8, verse 9, and this is the centurion speaking. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. In military life, this is called the chain of command, and you are required to follow orders from your superiors. There may be times in the military where one is required to obey an order that is in direct conflict with the teachings of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter made it clear in Acts 5:29. You don't need to go there right now, but it says, but Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Point three, having faith and trust in our military will protect a nation, causes people to rely on man instead of God for their protection. As a Christian, we need the courage to stand up for what is right. The Bible is full of scriptures of peoples and nations that have demonstrated their faith in God's protection when they were against insurmountable odds. God gives an example where he protected Israel in Exodus 14, for example. It shows the account where ancient Israel was finally led out of Egypt, then finally chased by the army of Pharaoh. And in verse 13 and 14 of Exodus 14, Moses states clearly to the people of Israel, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians you see here today, you shall see them again no more, forever. The Lord will fight for you. Yes, as Christians, God will fight for us. Let's turn to Psalms 91, for it talks to us Christians. And in beginning in verse 1, for he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Now drop down to verse 5. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Can any military comfort you like the word that comes from God Almighty? As Christians, we are not to make war as the world does, but to war against that human nature in us. Now let's turn to Colossians 5. And we'll see that nature, that human nature in us that we are warring against. If we drop down to Colossians 3, verse 5, Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth. And these are the members he's talking about. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Now drop down to verse 8. But you must also put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth, and do not lie to one another. If we go to verse 12, we'll see what our Christian duty is. Therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. So let's review these three points I have covered today. Point one, military service is incompatible for Christians to keep God's Ten Commandments. Point two, military service requires Christians to obey man rather than God. Point three, having faith and trust in the military causes the nation to rely on men instead of God for protection. World War I was called the war to end all wars. And then came World War II and a whole host of other wars. Wars do not end wars. The United Church of God International Association, in its fundamental belief statement, firmly believes in this. In fact, if you go to your little booklet on fundamental beliefs, you'll read the statement about military service in war. I'd like to read a portion of that statement for you today. It states, "We believe that Christians are forbidden by the commandments of God from taking human life, directly or indirectly, and that the bearing of arms is contrary to this fundamental belief. Therefore, we believe that Christians should not voluntarily become engaged in military service. If they are involuntarily engaged in military service, we believe they should refuse conscientiously to bear arms, and to the extent possible, refuse to come under military authority. Our warfare as Christians is in the spiritual arena. We do not war against flesh, but against wicked spirits in high places. Brethren, I look forward to that day when the prophecy in Isaiah comes true, and we as Christians do not have to ask the question, should we serve in the military? Because it will be a moot point. Isaiah 2, verse 4 says, they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their hooks into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn of war no more.